Penguin Random House Canada presents All Over the Map, Rambles and Ruminations from the Canadian Road, by Ron James. Read for you by the author. To June, Kaylee, and Gracie, who were always there when I went elsewhere. Go ahead, chase fame. See what that does to your soul. Billy Connolly. Follow your bliss, Joseph Campbell. Look here. You've never seen this country. It's not the way you thought it was. Look again. Al Purdy. 4. All Over the Map is a travelogue through time, a road trip between one comedian's ears, taking pit stops in the past and present that embraces the mysteries of people and place. The comedian is me, by the way, and I wouldn't be writing the book were I not one. I'd be busy in the lab with other nuclear physicists playing with boron. Now, that's a lie. You need good marks in math to be a nuclear physicist, and I repeatedly flunked that subject in school because I'd rather talk than think. I'd also rather hit the road looking for laughs than deal with a nuclear meltdown in a cooling tower any day. So there's that, too. By the way, when I write mysteries of people and place, I don't mean the run-of-the-mill mysteries, like, are Sasquatches real? And if so, why does the only existing film footage of them look like a neighbor running through a backyard in a hair suit they sewed in their man cave? Or was the last recorded sighting of the serpent Ogopogo, which legend says swims in British Columbia's Lake Okanagan, authentic, or the result of the claimant enjoying a magic mushroom-induced afternoon? Perfectly plausible. I certainly saw my fair share of giant lizards after scarfing a mitt full of shrooms at a folk festival or two back in the day. Believe me, a trio of 7-foot salamanders singing backup for Valdi in 1978 was a vision a 20-year-old kid could have done without. Perhaps the most enduring of Canadian mysteries, though, is how many mosquitoes, over what period of time, does it take to drain your dry of blood while you're attempting to fill your bucket with the blueberries you're picking north of Temiskaming? Actually, it's 729,623 in under 5 minutes. How about that? Hey, maybe I am good at math. At the risk of pushing the envelope into hypothetical realms of the fantastical, the mystery I'm referring to is the tactile connection of spirit to place. It's the soul note that connects you to the authentic. I heard it ringing Sunday morning clear when touring cities, towns, and whistle stops along 7,821 kilometers of our nation's connective tissue, the Trans-Canada Highway. The hidden booms accrued and a call to adventure answered occurred when I crossed paths with fellow pilgrims who, unprompted, shared their stories that, in the telling, delivered a currency far greater than a payday's treasure. Whether in coffee shops, hotels, planes, street corners, food courts, or bars, when these strangers started talking, I just listened. When they were done and disappeared to where they'd come from, I wrote it all down so I wouldn't forget. I'm glad I did, because those conversations took place well before we were forced to close off the real world we actually walk through in exchange for the digital one we don't. They happened before everything changed. They happened before a worldwide pandemic shifted our psychic paradigm, dramatically altering daily life, crippling economies, gutting government infrastructure, and at this writing, leaving 3.6 million global casualties in its wake. The performing arts suffered a particularly devastating blow. Throughout the global village, those places where practitioners of the myriad disciplines that comprise the profession once plied our trades, theaters, stadiums, bars, clubs, concert halls, were shuttered to protect audiences and performers alike from an invisible enemy 10 times more contagious than the common flu. This killing of authentic social contact made social media's inauthentic contact a mandatory lifeline. What for me had once been a live audience seated in theaters suddenly became an unseen audience seated somewhere in cyberspace. With everyone housebound, Zoom became Cyberworld's ubiquitous delivery system. Where I'd once stood on stage hearing laughter, I now stood in my living room hearing, well, nothing at all. Given the contemptibly quiet crowds I'd weathered in my first few years as a stand-up, the irony wasn't lost on me. Easy, you gotta love when life comes full circle, eh? Streaming gigs live from my living room Certainly kept my mojo working and threw a few bucks in my kitty. Yet every performance felt as if I were delivering my set to fellow Earthlings from a space capsule orbiting the Nebulon galaxy. Authentic connection is not the medium strong suit. My COVID-enforced dependence on technology can't be entirely blamed on the virus, though. I'd already become prisoner to the dopamine release that a smartphone's ping delivers to the neocortex. With each one, the brain's receptors experience such an orgasmic hit of adrenaline, it's a wonder there's not a discharge of fluids. The thing about receiving a dose of dopamine, though, is that in less than an hour, you'll be wanting another one. Its buzz is fleeting, ephemeral, empty calories. A soul note, on the other hand, is not just a passing sensation, but one of permanence. It echoes through time by setting its anchor way down deep to where spirit abides. It's what those fellow pilgrims I chatted with felt compelled to share, and I felt privileged to hear. That makes this their book as much as it does mine. I started writing all over the map 3 years ago in my old town Toronto condo, never imagining that I'd be writing the second draft during an Atlantic bubble-mandated quarantine, cocooned in a sanctuary by the sea that made my Nova Scotia province of origin one of the safest places in the world during the summer of 2020 to ride out the plague. During the 14 days indoors, neighbors and friends brought me food or reached out via text asking what was needed. Their kindness personified the unifying phrase, "We're all in this together." This wasn't unique to the East Coast, either. Despite all the mixed messages the public received from authorities as to how to beat the virus, and the virulent idiocy of the anti-maskers with their conspiratorial belief that COVID-19 was a Bilderberg New World Order Illuminati star chamber orchestrated plandemic supported by evil big pharma, George Soros, Beijing billionaires, Russian oligarchs, Bill Gates and his Silicon Valley minions busy planting microchips in our bloodstream for their mind control shenanigans, a couple of masons named Bell and Reg playing shuffleboard at the Okotoks Legion, and that pair of giant Jeezly lizards beneath the White House, living on a diet of Republican baby snatched by Hillary Clinton riding a broomstick. Canadians, for the most part, prioritized the common good. We wore masks, washed our hands, and kept our social distance as we fought to flatten the curve of globalism's first plague, the impact of which will be felt for generations. Provided, of course, the Martians don't invade first. Which, given the consistently bizarre geopolitical plot twists in our planet's daily narrative, would not surprise me in the least. By the time the paperback edition of this book hits the stands, geez, the entire planet could be under alien bondage with me doing hard labor in the zinc mines of Thompson, Manitoba, guarded by Martians with ray guns. I'm sorry, do outer space invaders even use ray guns? Do they? Ah, geez, they probably just stare at your forehead until it explodes, right? Okay. All right, then, I stand corrected. No ray guns. Apologies for the 1930s Buck Rogers level of reference for Martian weaponry. But the only science fiction I read is an occasional op-ed in the National Post by Conrad Black, and that's just for the sesquipedalian rush of it all. By the way, I bet old Conrad Black is a Martian. Huh? Even with a majority of Canadians following protocols at the start of the pandemic, the ineptitude of Canada's political class was staggering when it came to managing it. Our national travesty saw 81% of deaths from COVID occur in elder care homes. The populist dominions of Doug Ford's Ontario and François Legault's Quebec led the nation in geriatric deaths. Privately run elder care facilities were the most notorious offenders. Owned by stone cold corporate profiteers, these warehouses to the hereafter hired devalued workers to care for devalued lives who were as disposable as the diaper they were wearing that hadn't been changed in a week. Perhaps when these heartless totems of capitalist greed meet their maker, their reward will be that crowded corner in a very special place in hell. Move over, Bernie Madoff. Mike Harris and Chartwell's Board of Governors just arrived. But the pandemic's second wave, the frustratingly slow procurement of vaccines by Canada, may have showcased our Prime Minister's skills at reading a teleprompter, but when inoculation rates put our G20 nation 33rd in the world, I bet there were plenty days Trudeau had wished he'd stayed a snowboarder in Whistler. At one point, we were behind Slovenia. Slovenia! In layman's terms, that meant Melania Trump's third cousin Igor got the jab before our essential workers did.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?